Oh, gratefully sing his wonderful love. I should in defender the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
I'm glad to see you all here today. I also would like to welcome the people that are online and those that are out back or down at the park. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Carl Christman, under here, and I'm one of the deacons here, and I'll be doing the service today. The other thing I'd like to remind you, as I did once before, is I am a teacher preacher, so I'll be doing things a little bit differently than what you've seen before. Oh, it gets funnier than that. Wednesday is kind of a special day. Most people don't pay much attention to it anymore, but it's called Veterans Day. Used to be called Armistice Day. In Canada, it's called Remembrance Day. It is actually the day that the fighting stopped for World War I. It is not the end of the war. The end of the war didn't come until the Treaty of Versailles, and that would be June 28th of 1919. Many people think that's the day that the war ended, but wars end with treaties. So I would like all the veterans, active reservists that are here today, to stand up, please. Thank you. Thank you. I wore a unique shirt, and it says, if you can't read it, although I'm sure those people way in the back can see it real well. It says, I ain't perfect, but I do have a DD-214. For an old man, that's close enough. Sermon today says that's not enough. We're talking about grace. You get to your end of your life, you have a 214, and you don't have any grace, you're in trouble. I'll get buttoned up again. One of the things I'd like to have you think about is, do we know when others are receiving grace? Some of us, I'm not sure we know when we're receiving grace, and I'll talk about that today. I'll be talking a lot about my, excuse me, my life, and how grace has fit into that. I want to give you a story. Those of you that are within a couple of generations of me will have already heard it, I'm sure. Some of the younger people may not. And obviously, it's not something that's going to happen. Man goes to heaven. He died. Goes, there's St. Peter at the gate. And the man says hi to him and starts walking in. St. Peter says, wait a minute, you don't get to go in yet. He says, what do you mean? He says, you've got to score 100 points. 100 points? How do I get 100 points? Well, what kind of good deeds did you have while you were on earth? Well, I was married 50 years. To the same woman. I never cheated, even in my heart. I have three kids. They're all Christian. They all go to church. They're all raising their kids as Christians. Not bad. That's worth 3 points. 3 points? Well, I attended church. I tithe. I served on committees. I was a moderator, served as a deacon. Well, another 3 points. Whew. I started a soup kitchen and a homeless shelter. Fantastic. 2 more points. 2 points. At this rate, the only way I'll get into heaven is by the grace of God. Come on in. I mean, it's a silly story, but it carries a true meaning. The opening prayer I'm going to have is one that I pulled off the internet. Now, when I got my first internet when I was in my classroom, I became a research nut. And the first year I had it, I ended up with 14 reams of research. Well, I still do that, but I do things more on religious aid things now. And one of the things I came up with are prayers. I love to dig out prayers. I know a lot of people don't like rote prayers. I don't really call these rote prayers because they're prayers that other people have written. And this one is entitled, A Frustrated Teenager's Prayer for God's Grace. I would have titled it A Frustrated Teenager's Parent's Prayer for God's Grace. Oh God, I know you love me and you have forgiven me and all that. And I know in my heart that some of my outbursts are not good. But Lord, I'm so frustrated. No one seems to understand me or what I need. Lord, I do thank you that you do not hold everything against me and that all my sins have been forgiven by your amazing sea of forgetfulness. I guess I also know that my behavior towards everyone, and that just allows me to have my frustration build up. And it explodes inside of me. It's wrong, and I know it's not pleasing to you. Lord, I know that I need you in my life because I know there is no one but you that could sort out this frustration in me. It is causing tension with my whole family and my friends as well. I know it needs to be sorted out. Lord, I need your grace in me. Right down deep inside me. Show me, Lord, how I can be the sort of person I need to be. Help me to develop the right sort of relationship with all the people in my life. Also, Lord, I ask that you would show me the right way to react when things get me down and I feel frustrated. Thank you for the way you do care for me. And thank you for that I know that in the power of your grace, I can become the person you would want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was in the service, I came across a couple of people. I did not meet either one of them face to face. I work customs. I came across them because I saw World War II, military. He loved to go out. But are these people, did we look at these people and we say, we just know that they got grace. We know God gave them grace. But we're just talking from ourselves. Do we really know that? We don't. Will we ever know it? Well, when we get to heaven, we will. But I'm going to bet both of them got a little grace from God for what they did. Martha Ray called the Green Berets her boys. And she received the title of Lieutenant Colonel from Lyndon Baines Johnson when he was president. She also had some medical training. So when she went to these places, she would skip out of the show and go substitute for one of the nurses. Is that worthy of grace? Another individual that I'm sure you've heard of, John Newton. Amazing Grace. And we'll have a couple of stanzas of that at the end. It was written in 1772, first performed January 1 of 1773 at a service. But it wasn't published until 1779. But most people don't really know the story of John Newton. He was a sea captain that was moving Negroes from Africa to the States. And he was happy because he was making lots of money. But a situation happened when he ended up getting, we'll see, very seasick. Because there was a storm, a huge storm. Kind of like Jesus sleeping when the apostles were in the boat, going frantic. Well, that's the kind of thing that happened to John Newton. There was a man that was on that ship. He was a black man, and he was actually working with the crew. And he would read him the Bible, and he would tell him about Jesus. Kind of ironic. John Newton was converted, became a minister, and preached for the rest of his life. Now, grace? Oh, I'm sure of that. But when have you felt an infusion of grace? I think that when I see my DD-214, which is my release from the military, or my honorable discharge hanging on the wall, I feel really good. But I see my marriage licenses, they're not hanging on the wall. I see jackets, shirts like the one under here. I feel real good. But I may feel real good, but that may not have given me any grace. Some of you heard the story of Robert from 6 to 12. And Robert was kind of an angry young man. You have not heard the 12 to 22, which gets even more interesting. But after I went in the Air Force, I finally figured out that God did have a plan, and I just needed patience. So I think that's what most of us need to come up with, is patience. And patience is probably the most difficult thing to come across. But what is grace? What does God's grace mean to Christians? Grace comes from the Greek word, New Testament word, spelled C-H-A-R-I-S, but I believe it's pronounced charis, K-E-I-R-I-S. And it means God's unmerited favor. It's a kindness from God. There are things that we do. Nothing we actually do will ever earn, have the ability to give us grace, but God will give it to us. It's not something that we earn. And grace is a divine assistance to humans for their rebirth or sanctification, a virtue coming from God, a state of sanctification enjoyed through divine favor. Webster's New World Collegiate Dictionary provides this theological definition of grace: the unmerited love and favor of God toward human beings. divine influence acting in a person to make the person pure, morally straight, morally strong, and the condition of a person brought to God's favor through this influence, a special value, a gift to be given a person from God. So, when have you felt the infusion of grace? The Bible says that God left his heavenly throne, became flesh, and came to live with us on earth. Further, he was full of grace and truth. John 1:14. In John 1:16-17, it states, "Far from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." And Philippians 2:13, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." Jesus' death actually accomplished three things in our life. One, everybody knows, it paid for the penalty of sin. We do not have to suffer sin, the penalty of sin, because when Christ died on the cross, he took those sins with him. But if you refuse God's grace, then you suffer the punishment. The punishment? Hell. It also broke the power of sin. Jesus' death on the cross gives us the power to change the habits, the hurts, and the hang-ups that derail our lives. And there's all kinds of derailing, at least in mine. The presence of sin will be obliterated. Obliterated, gone, taken away. One day, all who follow Jesus will go to heaven, and there is no more sin. I want to do a little exercise. David, could you come up, please? He sort of agreed to do this on the way up. I have, happens to be a Halloween envelope, but I have an envelope here. How much grace do you think I could put in here? You think I can get enough grace? You think I can get enough grace to get into heaven?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, this one's a little bigger. How about this one?
No.
Oh. Okay, this is what used to be called a barrel bag. How about that? That's a little bigger.
That's an antique, right?
That's
there.
An antique, yeah.
A little bigger? No, probably still not enough.
You don't think I can get that? Okay. Well, I guess we really don't know how much we need, so we need to keep working at it. Now, for the next 20 seconds, you get to be God. We're going to pretend these are $1 million. They've got George Washington on them, but we'll pretend they're $1 million each. Now, I've got $2 million here. Can I buy some grace?
I don't think so.
Why?
It's just money.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. So, we don't know how much grace we need. We just need to keep working on it. The other thing is, we can't buy it. There's no way to buy it. Nope, there's nothing in there. Oh well. In the book that we're using in Brian's class, there it is. It talks about the witnesses, the unnamed witnesses in Hebrews 11. And it's talking about what they would say to you. It says, "I think they would say to you, I'm so sorry for what you're going through. The pain and injustice of this world can feel overwhelming. But don't give up. Take it a day at a time. God will give you enough strength for today. His grace is sufficient." So we don't need to worry about how much grace we're getting. We just need to be working with God and doing the things we're supposed to do, and grace will take care of itself. Okay, now we're going to talk a little bit about my life. When have I felt the infusion of grace? Well, definitely not when I was little. Definitely not until after, actually, I left the Air Force. I can't believe how God supported me when I was in the Air Force. I had tremendous jobs. I was security police. I never, what we used to refer to as humped a bomber, never walked around a bomber. 1 4-hour period, I was an upload supervisor for a B-52. That was the extent of my time on an aircraft. Entry controller to the bomber alert area 5 times. Entry controller to the SR-71 2 times. Other than that, I worked in law enforcement administration office, or I worked as a complotter, which is basically a desk sergeant for security. When I was in Philippines, I also worked pass an ID, and then I worked law enforcement administration. Fantastic jobs. How did I end up with those jobs? Well, when you go into the service, they tell you 2 things. 1, keep your mouth shut, which I really did, surprised most of you, I'm sure. And the other thing, don't volunteer. They were taking us out in a truck to show us the post where we would be banning. And did you know that the Philippines have snakes? Big snakes. Little snakes. They're all nasty snakes. So, when they asked for a volunteer to type line badges, my hand was way up there. So I got called in to do line badges. In 9 days, I was moved to customs. After 9 months, I went to law enforcement administration. Fantastic jobs. That was definitely the grace of God to do that for me. I didn't do it on my own, guaranteed. Okay, now, when did I really feel the best ever on getting God's grace? First time that I really realized it when it was happening. Ironically, I was standing right here. That's when I married Nancy. But the most dramatic time when I felt just could not believe the feeling, and I knew Jesus was standing there, and I knew that grace was just flowing. And that was when I was baptized by immersion at Holy Land Experience. Now, Holy Land Experience is in Orlando. And I was watching the Church of All Nations as it was being built, and the baptismal out front, which is probably the size of the sage. It's huge. And first time I was there, Nancy and I were married on Saturday. We were there. We went in there on Friday. We got there Thursday. And I chickened out. I had told myself I would get baptized. When I left there, I told Nancy, we talked about it for a whole year. The next year we went, and I went in. I went to the person I needed to go to, told him I wanted to be baptized. And I got ready. They put the garb on me that they did. Basically, it was 2 robes, 1 each way. Anyway, I'm sitting there just thinking how amazing this is going to be. And this young lady about 20 years old comes up. She says, "Are you going to get baptized?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "I think I will too." So I don't know whatever happened to her, but I wonder. I don't know if she thought about getting baptized beforehand, because I had been thinking about it for about 5 or 6 years. I was baptized by sprinkling when I was a baby. And I always thought, no big deal. And then about mid-90s, just before Virginia, or mid-90s is when they were building. And then Virginia was really sick. My first wife was really sick during the mid 2004, 2006, 2008 through that point. And so that's when I decided, seriously decided to think about getting immersion, because I knew that there was something there. I just didn't know what it was at that time. When the time came and the Baptist minister, it was a Baptist minister, put me down, I thought, how amazing. This is the same thing that Jesus did. It's just a different place. Something I'd never thought about before. What a place to get to go to be, get this grace. And I knew I was getting grace. That's one of the few times in my life that I knew grace was coming to me. And I think about it all the time. I'd like to recommend to those of those people that were in my sixth grade training class, Sunday school class, who are not here for the most part, but those that are not baptized, I would like you to consider being baptized so you could get that feeling. You could get the feeling of this euphoria. And that's what it was, of Christ coming into you with his grace. And that applies to any adults that haven't been baptized by immersion. If you are interested, I would say talk to Pastor David or Pastor Vince or one of the deacons or one of the deaconesses. You'd be surprised how much they know. So we don't see a lot of them because we kind of keep them on the side. But I'd recommend that you talk to one of these people if you're interested in. And those of you that would be interested, I would be more than happy to do the baptism. And for some of you, I promise not to hold you under too long. Well, too long anyway, yeah. Any adult, like I said, that would like to be baptized, that's never been baptized, please consider it. And I have something in the bulletin. Looks like this, except it's smaller. It's called The Grace of God. And it says, and these are just scripture readings. These are just partial. We are saved by grace. We are forgiven by grace. We are sustained by grace. We are healed by grace. And God's grace can be lavished on us. Talents. We're given talents by grace. Typist forgot to put that in yellow instead of red. It was me. We are used by grace. This is an interesting one. We are used by grace. God uses us to fulfill his purposes in the world, not because of what we have done, but through his grace. That's Ephesians 3:7. And we are transformed by grace. We're renewed. Our minds are renewed. when you have time this week or so, next few days, take a look at these scriptures and read through them, and maybe a couple of verses on each side. And I, again, where I open, I ain't perfect, but I do have a DD 214 for an old man. That's close enough. That's not close enough. You need to have grace. Grace is important. Grace is the thing that it's all about. If this were an actual class, I would ask questions, but since it's not, I won't. But I have a closing prayer here that I, again, picked up off the internet, and it was actually written, give her credit, don't you just hate that when you can't get the paper open? There it is. Kelly Mahoney. And she actually finished it up April of 2018. And this says it's a prayer for someone else. Lord, thank you for all you do in our life. I know, Lord, that we are imperfect people, living in imperfect times. But Lord, some of us need your grace in a mighty way. Lord, please protect those people against the things that pull them away from you. Let these people live in you as you desire. Give them the strength during this rough patch in their life. Let your desires be their desires. Lord, please, please provide your grace through protection from the harm that seems to come to us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Please give us strength to get through each day because you are there to provide it for them. Lord, I ask that you cover us in grace for healing, for direction. Please, Lord, give us the strength to be honest with others so that we can be an instrument of grace. Let me be more like you by providing others unconstitutional love, something they need in their lives. Give them a path and let them see how clearly what needs to be done. I ask you, Lord, to provide, as you always do, to move the mountains of doubt, the pain that fills their lives. In your holy name, in Jesus' holy name, amen. Again, this was written by a person that I found on the internet, this Kelly Mahoney. Done that. It's kind of a fun thing to do, to go through and look and see the prayers that are out there. They're just amazing. So, as I close today, I would like to put an emphasis on grace. Grace for everybody. I know that a lot of people will say, well, they're not getting any grace. I know they're not. The first time I heard somebody say, but for the grace of God, I was about 4 or 5 years old. And these were soldiers that came back from World War II. And through the 50s, you heard it all the time. Now you rarely ever hear it. People don't even say it. People don't even know it. Don't even think it. for the grace of God. The one individual that I remember the most is a man who at that time was about 35 years old and looked older than what I do today. He had been on the Bataan Death March. And he thanked God that he got home. And he got home intact. He had a very, very rough life when he got home. He only lived to be about 40. But he thanked God every day. So hopefully we could all do that. And I would ask that those of you that, again, have not been baptized, be considerate. Please consider it. Now, is it something that you're going to have? Maybe not. But what a way to get an infusion of grace.